Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you one and all for being with us. And I say evening because it's evening here, but who knows what time it is wherever you are, whenever you're listening to this. And I still think that's incredibly cool. My guest tonight is Dee Dee Marks, who has a wonderful book, Beyond Believing, and we'll be talking to her in just a few minutes. But first, tonight's metaphysical music. And I always talk about the effects of the moon and the sun and all the rest of it, but we've been getting hit with a lot of solar flares, historically high levels and more frequent than has, I think, ever been recorded before. And being as sensitive as I've become, I'm the canary in the mine, I get hit by all of it. So there are definitely days when I'm not feeling right. And fortunately, I have friends online that I can reach out to and say, what's going on with the solar flares now? And they go, oh, we just got whacked with whatever it is. So people are walking around, as we used to say in my old neighborhood, just doing their sidewalk act, you know, not making believe everything is okay and they can just do their routine. While the planet is changing frequencies, so it's like they're getting a Reiki healing all day, which is changing literally who they are and what their vibration is. And then we get hit by all these solar flares. And I know I'm sensitive to it, and I have friends that are sensitive to it. But there were a couple little things that happened in the last few days that really showed me how much it's affecting other people who never would have thought of that. So a client of mine contacted me for a follow-up healing and said, I was just in the emergency room. I was having heart palpitations. I'm feeling really off base. I really want you to check me out. And he had some issues that I'll deal with when I do the healing. But I mentioned to him this whole thing about solar flares and the effects, and that some of what was going on with him might have been either the effect of the solar flares, or at least exaggerated and made worse by the solar flares. And he went out online and looked up effects of solar flares and emailed me back and said, holy mackerel, this is a laundry list of everything that's going on in my body. So he knew nothing about it. He had no, you know, nobody was going to mention it to him unless I did. But it made a big difference to him knowing that there was another factor, that he wasn't crazy. It wasn't a major medical problem. The doctors didn't miss anything. There's something else going on. The other thing was an old dear friend of mine from way back in high school. This is one of my high school buddies' kid brothers, now lives in Australia and has been having a terrible time of it. He's got diabetes and he's got terrible problems with his feet. They thought they were going to have to do surgery and whatnot. But he has a really hard, first of all, the pain is excruciating. And secondly, they're having a really hard time figuring out what medication or combination of medications to give him, both in terms of managing the pain, but also not making him crazy with hallucinations and other things from the drugs. And I'm laughing, but I've been talking to him for days and some of the stories are pretty strange. And I told him about the solar flare things and it really stopped him in his tracks. And he said, mate, because now he's not from Brooklyn, he's from Australia. Yeah, that's all the stuff that's going on with me. I wonder what else it's affecting. And he started doing a little reading and realized that it might not just be his medical condition and the fact that he's in general a cranky kind of guy. There might be another factor. So just as kind of a suggestion, a heads up, to take a broader look at what's going on in the world and how it might be affecting you. And in particular, right now, at this moment on the planet, do a little reading about the effects of the solar flares and find somewhere that you can keep track of when the solar flare activity is happening, because it's having effects that are surprising. I've seen this happen before, but it's really more powerful than I've seen before. So once again, it's not just the physical world. There's way more going on, and it's a bigger adventure than most people are paying attention to out there doing their sidewalk act. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And now we're going to have some fun with my guest, Dee Dee Marks, who is the author of Beyond Believing. Dee Dee, thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks for having me.
So my frustrations with this, doing this work, is I get the books typically just before the show, and I get to just read a little tiny bit of them. And I got sucked into this story immediately in the first three pages.
Thank you.
Both in terms of how it's written, but in terms of how the story is unfolding, I want to know what happens. And so just to give the audience an idea, you wrote this novel, but it's based on your life and an experience that you had and are still having. And so it's the perfect segue into asking you about your journey and your walkabout. And how did you wind up doing this, and what happened?
Sure. So it goes back a long time, and I could have never imagined that this is where I would be. But about 20 years ago, I lost one of my dear friends in a car accident. And I was only 23 years old, and, you know, I'd been through loss and things of grandparents, great-grandparents, great-aunts and uncles, but nothing had, you know, hit so close to home. It was such a young person, one of my best friends, and it just really rocked me to my core, and I didn't know how to cope with it or his being gone and, you know, dealing with mortality and figuring that, you know, life is short and it can be taken from you at any moment. And I really struggled at the time with needing to feel his presence, for him to be able to communicate with me, to let me know he was okay. And again, this was like years and years and years ago. And, you know, I didn't know how that could happen. Right. So I just was like, I have to create this way for us to be able to communicate. And he needs to be able to send me signs and signals from, you know, the beyond into the physical world. So I would pick things like a song, or see things like license plates, or ask for guidance on something, and something unique would pop up. But they were all things that were more like signs and symbols that really resonated with me and helped me bring comfort to my life. So. Mm-hmm. So fast forward, you know, this is 20 years ago, and, you know, I'm struggling to figure out, like, where my life is and how it fits, and I'm just kind of going through the motions, and, you know, I have a corporate job, and, you know, kind of following, you know, the typical path of 90% of Americans, and just was not feeling fulfilled in the least, and ended up finding myself without a job. Unexpectedly, I got fired, and first time in my life I'd ever been fired. And I was, I was like 42 years old. And because of where I was at in my life and what I had been through and kind of feeling like I wasn't feeling fulfilled, I really stopped and took a deep pause and looked inside myself and said, you know, why is it that I'm here on this earth? What am I here to do? What am I here to accomplish? And I'm halfway through that journey, and I don't feel like I've contributed, you know, my gifts to this world. And so I had always dreamed of kind of like writing a book or doing something creative. That's kind of my educational background is in, you know, communication. So I had taken some kind of a sidebar. I'd taken some Second City classes, which is an improvisational training. Mm-hmm. Popular here in Chicago, and I learned some tools and tricks, and went through a year of training with an ensemble, and, you know, had a great time with it. And, you know, but that was kind of during my career years, and I just kind of ignored it. And I ignored the, you know, the poking of like, this is kind of where you should be spending your energy. And when I lost my job, I was like, you know, when was I happiest? And I went back through my, you know, Rolodex and said, you know, it was really when I was being creative. So that compiled with losing my friend and still feeling this huge sense of grief and loss. I was like, you know, wouldn't it be great if I could leave a legacy of our friendship and what he has done for me, not only in the physical world, but also from beyond. And I wrote it fictionally because I, you know, some people don't buy into that concept, right? And I was like, I'm hoping that people take the theme of the book and can relate it to something they've been through in their life. So that's really what sparked the journey. And the second I opened my heart to that journey, it has just been an amazing ride. And I am 100% confident that this is the road I'm supposed to be on, and that I finally got led to it, and there's no turning back.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, exactly. Took a long way to get here, but I'm finally here.
Yeah, it usually does. So at some point in this process, you did start getting those communications.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, from the minute he left, and it was like, you know, for a while you'd question, is it just a coincidence? Am I just looking for something or searching for something? But I can say 23 years later, with communications almost on a daily, multiple times a day, really, there's just no such thing as coincidence. And I'm 100% confident that he's absolutely my guardian angel and with me all the time and guiding this journey and helping me figure it all out.
So tell us a little bit about what those communications are like.
So, you know, usually it starts with me needing to figure out a direction. You know, for example, when I lost my job, it was like I had been searching for a new job for 2 years. The whole time I had this job, I was searching and searching and searching. And it was to the point where I was just, I'd say I hit rock bottom, where I was just like, why can I not get out of this cycle? Like, I'm trying to get out of this job. It's not working. I'm doing everything I can proactively. But every time I get just to the door slams in my face. And it's like, why does everything keep closing down on me? And after I got outside of that particular moment, I realized that all the doors were closing because I couldn't deflect anymore. I had to really look deep inside and ask the hard questions and say, you know, what is it that I'm not listening to, right? So he had been trying to communicate to me by these closed doors that, nope, you're going the wrong way. You're going the wrong way. Nope. And he kept trying to guide me, but a lot of times I would ignore it. And then finally it was like, enough is enough. Like, I'm going to make you I don't think he's intentionally making me miserable, but I had to be at such a low point in my life that I had to figure out a different way of going about it, right? I couldn't do the normal, you know, like just go get another job. I was deflated and defeated and was like, I need to take control of my life and what would make me happy. And this would make me happy. And the story that I wrote was the one that had been in my heart for 25 years. And the second I started to write it down, it really just totally poured out of me. So he does things like he'll send, like for example, today, one of my songs that I get from him is called Small Town by John Cougar Mellencamp. And I had picked that song years ago because he died in the early 90s. He was a huge John Mellencamp fan. We grew up in the Midwest. And the lyrics of the song are very similar to the life he led, which is like, I'm happy, I'm surrounded by friends and family, and, you know, I had a blast here. And even though it was short, it was great. And like 3 years later, so I had just picked that song kind of out of nowhere, and it was popular at the time. And so 3 years later, I'm kind of going through some old stuff, shoe boxes and letters and whatnot. And I find a postcard from him with his handwriting. And imagine a postcard, right? It's like a paragraph deep.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, hey, are you coming home this weekend for homecoming? Blah, blah, blah. By the way, have you heard Johnny Cougar's new song? And he refers to John Mellencamp in this postcard, which is the only piece of written communication I have from him. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, how did I know to pick that? That's what I picked. And now he's confirming that that's how he's communicating with me. And I mean, I could go on and on, but like today, I follow John Mellencamp on Facebook, and it was Throwback Thursday, and it was like Small Town by John Cougar Mellencamp. You know, look at the video. And it's, you know, it's like, I have a radio show tonight to talk about him. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. So that's my most popular one, but I get a lot of license plates too.
License plates with specific words and meanings on them?
Yeah. Or? So a lot of times it'll say, like, it'll be Dan, which is his name. And, you know, I was on my, this is a crazy one. So a couple weeks ago, John Mellencamp is still heavily involved in Farm Aid, as you probably know.
Right.
And he still does it annually. And it was here in Chicago about 3 weeks ago. And I'm in the car driving there, and the license plate in front of me was, "You Believe." And I was like, oh, and I'm going to the John Mellencamp concert. My book's called Beyond Believing. He's like, "You Believe, you get it now," you know, and it's like, he's constantly talking to me. And, you know, some people believe me, some people don't. A lot of it I keep to myself because it's kind of our own personal connection. And I don't want people to take away from that. So, but it never ceases to amaze me or take my breath away or absolutely provide comfort that he's here with me at all times.
Yeah, it's an amazing kind of communication. And whether you see it as being an individual who's, you know, in effect your spirit guide,
right,
at this point, or angels, or however you look at it, lots of people have interesting stuff happen like that, and some of them are hysterically funny.
Right.
If I can tell one of my stories, I remember being stuck and frustrated. This is while I was out in California apprenticing. And, you know, where's the money and all this other stuff? And I'm finally just looked up at the sky and said, "Give me a sign." And the words I heard were, "Listen to the radio." And I turned the radio on, and it was when they still had the Conelrad signals.
Uh-huh.
And as I turned the radio on, it went, "Beep, this is a test."
No. No. Wow.
And the next day, I got a sign painting job, which I was like, "You're kidding me."
Wow. Have you ever seen the movie with Jim Carrey, Bruce Almighty?
Yes.
Well, it's so funny because it like makes fun of the fact that he's talking to God, but he's ignoring all the signs and symbols to the point where he's in his car talking to God, and he's following this construction truck, right, that has all these signs in it that's like detour, dead end, don't go here, you know, and he's like passing it, you know, trying to get around the truck. And it's, I mean, sometimes it's that obvious and we just are completely oblivious or refuse to hear it or listen to it. And that's wild. That's crazy.
Oh, I've got more, but
yeah, love to hear them.
Well, there was the morning that I was totally frustrated, and I got up and said, "Would it be too much to ask to be surrounded by adoring redheads? I mean, come on, anything is possible."
Right.
And I was just doing odd jobs and whatnot, and I had a job at a preschool, and a whole family of little redheaded boys came in and decided I was the greatest guy they had ever met. And they were all over me and wrestling and having a great time. And at some point I got the joke.
That is so funny.
I was completely surrounded by adoring redheads. I had not said the purpose I had in mind, the age or the gender. So they just gave me adoring redheads.
Right. That's like the metaphor in the movie Under the Tuscan Sun, where she's like, "I just want my house full of love and laughter."
Yes.
And she assumed it would be hers.
Right.
But it wasn't hers, but it was a metaphor for it. You weren't specific, but here you go, you know.
That's incredible. Well, it's you get what you ask for, not what you wanted. You have to be very specific. If you leave stuff out, then what will be highlighted is what you were inaccurate about.
Yep.
So the place I'm living right now has every single thing that was on my laundry list of what I wanted.
Uh-huh.
Except the front screen porch is really noisy because of road noise. And the clawfoot tub is really small. I mean, it's like...
Right. Exactly.
Because I said I wanted the porch, not the functionality that I wanted, which was a quiet place.
Right.
And I wanted the tub to soak in, but what I was... saying was clawfoot tub. You gotta say the experience that you want,
right?
Not the superficial stuff. But yeah, it's the communication across the seeming physical versus non-physical is absolutely wild. And then you start reading the quantum physics and what the people on the cutting edge of science are saying about all this stuff, and it gets really interesting.
Right.
But so does the reality that a shaman works in.
Yep.
So we have about 5 minutes to the break. So what prompted you to write the book was that you made this big shift in your life and you realized you needed to be creative. And you wanted to tell this story. How long ago did you write the book?
So this all happened. It's all happened in the last 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
It came on like a freight train, and, you know, I look back in just a couple short years and realize, like, wow, I went from an idea to a concept to writing it to getting it published to, you know, it's been crazy, but wonderful crazy. It's just only been, I mean, this is still very new. The book came out in April on his actual anniversary, which was a whole nother sign too. You know, I was self-published, so I was like, okay, well, I'm going to kind of dictate when this is going to come out, right? And I wanted it to come out last fall, thinking, just like you said, I want it to come out before the Christmas season, because wouldn't it be great if people bought it for Christmas, right? But I wasn't, you know, the money is not what this is about. It's about sharing a story that people can relate to and hopefully take something from it and realize, if they just keep their mind open, that they can see the signs too and change their life. So, ironically, some things went back and forth with my publisher, and there was a couple delays, all to my benefit. They wanted to do things right for me and not shortcut anything. And so they're like, well, you know, it's looking like it's going to be April. So do you have a special day in April you'd like to release it on? And I was like, yeah, I got one, you know, and that's the day it came out. And he's like, yeah, I'm in control up here, not you. So it couldn't have worked out more perfectly. So it came out April 6th, so which was his 22nd anniversary. So, and also excellent. The night that is the NCAA tournament, which is the night he passed away. He was at the NCAA game, or with friends watching the game. And he went to the University of Wisconsin Stout, and University of Wisconsin was in the final. And the guy, Frank Kaminsky, that was the lead player on the team, went to our high school.
That's pretty
cool. It was crazy. So it was like a 22-year anniversary, the launch of my book, and the way he had, and it was actually a Monday night when it happened. It was on a Monday, and it was the NCAA game that he passed away at, and his team is at the helm with the lead guy on the team from our high school. I mean, it was just are you kidding me right now?
Hey, yeah, it was crazy. Let's make sure people know where to find you online. What's your website?
Sure. ddmarx.com, no spaces. And all my social media channels are out there, and they can get a link to the book. They can also download a free chapter from my website as well.
Fantastic. So we are going to go to a break in just a minute, and we will be back shortly. Unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Dee Dee Marks, who is the author of Beyond Believing, An Inspiring Story to Awaken the Heart. And I can vouch for it being a story that sucks you right in. And we will be hearing more of the story in just a little bit. Here we are at Empower Radio. This is David Franklin Farkas. On the Farkas Files, the truth is in here somewhere, and we'll find more of it in just a minute. Don't go nowhere.
These days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I've been.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg.
Ha-ha, I win. Whoa! Ah!
Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound health and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on, and lost cat stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with Dee Dee Marks, the author of Beyond Believing. And we're having a wonderful time hearing your story. And tell us a little bit about the story in the book. The book is a novel, obviously, based on your experience.
Right. So the book is actually a trilogy. So this is just the first of three books that will be coming out. It's called the Beyond series. And the first book is called Beyond Believing, and the next two will be Beyond Love and Beyond Forever. And, you know, there's two main characters in the book, and the female character, closely mirrors my life. So there's a lot of truth in it, but a lot of embellishing and different times and parts of my life. Mm-hmm. And I tell the book every other chapter from a different perspective. So I basically tell the story of these two parallel lives in the world, a male and a female character who are living completely separate lives, like different countries and everything, and how they are being, you know, they have similar experiences through their life, and then they're kind of being led together from the other side based on their current experiences. So there's a lot of symbolism built into it, and it's about how they have to go through this journey and go through these tragedies to be able to have this rebirth and then kind of come together. And the way that they're brought together is from these forces from beyond. So the story is really, it's a lighthearted story, meaning it's the themes are friendship, love, humor. It's kind of a romantic comedy. There are some serious moments because there's a couple of tragedies in it. But for the most part, I try to keep it light and an easy read. And, you know, the first book covers about, I would say, you know, 15 to 20 years in length. So I don't get super deep into each character. And the next two books will be much more real time and probably only cover about 18 months. So there'll be a lot of looking back and kind of more character building and really digging into who these people are and their relationships. But one of the most common themes threaded throughout the book is the friendships that these people have in their own individual lives and how those friendships really get them through some of the most difficult times they're faced with. Mm-hmm. So I call it my love letter to friendship, which is really kind of my legacy to my friend and really honoring the relationship, you know, this short relationship we had in the physical world, but our friendship has just grown, you know, beyond belief, if I can use the pun. And he's been gone almost as long as he was here. And we are even closer now than we were than he was on the physical world. So it was a very fun story to tell. And I knew early on that it was going to be broken up into a series because I felt like I would be shortchanging it if I tried to shove too much in. And I really wanted to get the concept across of, you know, how things happen for a reason and what are those reasons, and you have to go through suffering to get to happiness and, you know, all those kind of metaphors and themes. So I target a lot of book clubs. So I'm pretty popular with book clubs, and I also, a lot of people, you know, it's like a light beach read. So it's fun
airplane
and
book.
Funny. Yeah, you know exactly. And it's, yeah.
That expression.
Pretty easy read. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's kind of how the story flows, and there's a lot more to come.
Which is wonderful, and I know somewhere I saw you use the term chick lit. As in chick literature, which gave me the giggles, but there
kind
is
of an
certain...
old term. Yeah.
Huh?
It's kind of an older term. I don't really know how much that's used anymore, but that's how I compare it. So,
well, it's interesting. The whole romance novel thing is not a guy thing, obviously.
Right.
And I had somebody else on the show who wrote a very complicated, you know, kind of adventure, spiritual adventure, which is very strongly a romance novel. And I was like, really? I know, you know, and I'm sure for women who read romance novels, it all would flow perfectly. And it was, had a whole other element of excitement, but it was really surprising to me.
Right. It's
but,
funny because a lot of my, my male friends in my life have read the book and they were like, surprisingly, I've enjoyed it, you know, and they try, they don't want to say like, I picked up this book that's like neon pink and blue and screams chick, you know, but they're like, I really, you know, I could totally relate to it. And it was an interesting story and I liked it more than I thought I would. So
if there's any men out there,
don't shy away.
Your writing is wonderful. And at the beginning, when you're describing all the kids in high school and the relationships and things. It's just wonderfully done, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. I don't, you know, I get a lot of books that are, you know, kind of spiritual slash technical kind of right. things. They have heavy content. And I find things, I read the sections that are most relevant to me, but I will have fun reading this.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it.
Good.
So, this is a fascinating topic because what you're really doing is taking, what you seem to be doing, is kind of a stealth approach to women who just want a as you said, a quick beach read. And you're mm-hmm. adding this whole other level of understanding and ways of looking at the world that they might not suspect is in there.
Right. Some deep hidden gems in there that they're not probably expecting.
And which is a wonderful thing, because that's how people learn, is by getting in the middle of something and being surprised. How do the other two books unfold? Because you said that they're a shorter period of time.
Right. So, you know, the first book is told kind of in breadth, you know, so over the span of many years, and mm-hmm. several characters are introduced. And then the next two books, it'll be told the same style in the two different voices. So one chapter, the female, and the other chapter, the male. Their names are Olivia and Finn. And, you know, although they've established kind of this relationship and now have been brought into each other's lives, their individual connections will still remain. And it'll kind of go back in time to uncover some of those connections from before they met at a deeper level, and also tell some backstories that, you know, I wasn't able to get into in the first book because, you know, it was just, I couldn't cover that much time and then go too deep. So the next two books will be much deeper. And what's interesting is that doing these book clubs, you know, I've asked people, you know, it's a series. What did you think? It's almost like a, you know, a free focus group, and right. say, you know, who do you want to hear more of, and what do you want to see more of, or what character did you like the best, and what didn't you get enough of? And people have given me some really great ideas. So, cool. Yeah. We'll see how it evolves.
What a wonderful way to do it.
Having
a built-in feedback system.
Right. It's been great. And, you know, a lot of the story, the whole story is told in my head. I know exactly how book two and book three will end. And, you know, so the whole story was told from day one. But some of the finer details are what I'm like looking forward to have people add that flavor. And hopefully it'll just want them to read the next two even more.
And do you have plans going further with this story, or?
I think three's the limit on this particular series. But, you know, honestly, I've thought about things where, what if I created another series about how he is trying to communicate with me in the physical world, to do the same series, but from the opposite perspective. And, you know, kind of feeling like, oh my gosh, do I really have to tell her again today that I'm still here? You know, I imagine him up in heaven, like totally palm, you know, face, like hand, you know, to the face, like, oh my gosh, like she just doesn't get it. Like, how much more is it going to take? I'm very high maintenance. So it would be very funny, because he was a very funny guy, to tell it from his perspective, like mm-hmm. in this other world. Like, can you believe that I have to tell her this again, that she is not getting this? Like, I basically tripped her, pushed her, you know, and it might be really funny to tell it from that other perspective and get
it.
A totally different view of the story. So I've kind of thrown that around a little bit. So we'll see.
Well,
he's definitely guiding the pen. So he's not going to let me give up too soon. He'll be like, we got to milk this, you know.
He's going to get more than 15 minutes of fame out of this.
Exactly. He's like, you're not done yet. Keep writing. I got more to say. So.
Well, if you haven't talked to lots of people with spirit guides, they usually have a lot of attitude and crazy sense of humor.
Yes. I love your stories about, I love the signs you get. I mean, that's the two you shared are phenomenal. So, and very funny.
The way that I know when I work with a group of archangels, and there are lots of people who work with the archangels, and the way I know that they have a similar relationship to them is if they've told them that they have to be called the boys. And they start telling what crazy pranks and jokes they tell. I go, okay, yeah, I know who that
is.
Yeah.
That's great. Great.
And the medicine man who crossed over, when he shows up, it's a stitch. It was when he was alive, too.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome.
Well, and, you know, which is a theme, and I often do talks about ghosts. And one of the things I'd say all the time is, just because you don't have a body doesn't mean your personality changed.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, I feel like the signs I get are, like, for example, when I was going to write this book, I was like, okay, you know, I'm at this crossroads. What do I do? I need, and again, I'm very high maintenance. I'm like, I need a specific sign by tomorrow, blah, you know, and it's like, he's like taking it down on paper, right? Yeah, I got it. And I was like, what should I do? Should I go for this job or stay at this job, or is there something totally different? And my friend, I woke up the next day and I got an email, and it was one of those little Pinterest little things, you know, with a little saying on it. And it said, write the flipping book already. It was like very specific and like direct. And I was like, wow, now he's just getting irritated. So I better start writing the book. Like, if I have to reincarnate myself just to come back and tell you what you should be doing, then I will do that. But don't make me come back there, you know? So he definitely maintained a sense of humor on the other side for sure.
Yeah, I have this image of you meeting this 6-year-old indigo kid who looks you in the eyes and goes, you write the book yet?
Yeah. Exactly. So funny. There was a, speaking of humor and signs, I was literally driving in my car somewhere through like Ohio and, you know, listening to music and whatever. And all of a sudden I see a literal billboard, right? So it's a sign, and there's like a telephone pole in front of the sign, and the billboard says, seriously, who put that pole there? That's all the billboard said. And I just busted out laughing, like, really? Like, who put that there? And I was like, that is hysterical. And like, you know, I mean, fortunately, I was paying attention, but I was going too fast to take a picture, but I literally laughed out loud. I was like, that's totally his personality. Like, really? What's up with that? You know? So, good stuff.
Yep. I totally get it. keep going with those, because they're great fun. You got more?
Yeah. Oh, I have plenty. So, some are funny, and some are very, like, take your breath away. So, okay, I talked about this small town and how I get these signs. And specifically when I told it, so I keep in touch with his family and his parents. And I was like, I should probably tell them I'm writing this book, right? So that they are aware and okay with it. And so for whatever reason, on this particular day in February, I send them an email and just said, hi, hope you're well, blah, blah, blah. You know, I want to let you know that I've been inspired and I'd really love to tell this story about a friendship. And, you know, Dan's going to be kind of the driving force of it. And I get an email back from his dad and it said, funny, you should email today. It's his mom's birthday. So it was almost his gift to his mom to say, look, somebody cares enough about me to keep my legacy alive and they're going to tell this book. Mm. And he said, but we were actually, so we're Catholic and they do a mass every year, either on his anniversary or during their family's, anybody's birthday in their family. So they were going to go to mass for his intention. And they said, and right before we left, it started snowing really bad because we live in Chicago. So they said, we decided we shouldn't risk it. So we stayed home. And instead, we were watching Wheel of Fortune and the answer to the puzzle was Small Town by John Gugger Mellencamp. And I'm like, Wheel of Fortune? Like, this song was popular in 1985. This is like 2013 on his mom's birthday. You know, I mean, it's just stuff that blows your mind. And the day that my books arrived, I had the hard copies sent to me before the launch date. And I live in a condo building and the security guard calls. He's like, they're here. So I'm like, I run down, I get a box and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to go show somebody. So I pull my car around and I go get the box and I put it in the front seat and I rip it open and the car had been on already. And I picked up the first, you know, I see it now. It's like in my hands and all of a sudden the Small Town starts playing on the radio station. I mean, just incredible. And the same, I did a talk at a high school, local high school, not our high school, but last winter I was asked to speak to the high school students. And as I was driving to the high school, Small Town came on, like, this is right. Where you're supposed to be putting your energy and this is what you're supposed to be doing. And
love it.
And yet all of those signs every day, I still wake up. I'm like, are you still here? Can you just tell me today? Are you still here? So I can only imagine when we meet again someday, the smack upside the head that I'm gonna get for making him reassure me day after day, but it's just my selfish way of staying close to him.
That's very cool. What just came to mind, which I haven't thought of in years, was there was a gal on the West Coast that I met while I was apprenticing, and we had an interesting relationship that had elements very similar to what you're talking about, but she was alive and she drove a very unusual car. She drove a Volvo sports car. And I would periodically just see that car out. And it's not a car that you see every day.
Unless right.
Somebody owns it around the corner or something. And so, you know, her car would go by and I'd send her an email and go, thinking of me, are you? Yeah. How do you know? Saw your car again.
Oh my gosh.
And it went on for like 10 years.
Wow.
Basically until the car didn't exist anymore. You know, they weren't making them and they disappeared.
Right.
But it was just another one of those bridging space and time. Anytime right. She was having a thought about me, her car would show up in my neighborhood. It was very funny.
Wow. Yeah, and I mean, I am very grateful for the gift of being able to pick up the signs because it is really incredibly comforting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not something, you know, maybe you probably teach it or how get people in tune to how they can feel it and pay attention to it. But sometimes people want it so badly that they miss it entirely, right?
Well, you miss what's in front of your face because it's not what you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yes. You know, the one of the classic things is asking to get a sign that doesn't make any sense. You know, I want a feather is a classic one.
Right.
And I want a particular kind of feather, you know, and it'll just drop in front of you.
Yeah.
It gets really interesting.
Yeah.
But, you know, the main thing with all of this is the message that your body holds who you are, but who you are doesn't end. And that right. communication doesn't have anything to do with the physical body and what we think is going on around us. That communication doesn't end either. It's why people do paranormal investigating and everything else.
Right.
It's like, just show me that life continues. Show me that death isn't the end.
Yep.
And you know that.
Yeah.
And that's,
yeah, and the theme of the book is basically taking very little things and making them kind of a big aha in the book that, mm-hmm. you know, things that are weaving these two characters together that they don't know about, but the reader can see and be like, oh my gosh, that's going to blah, 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 you know. And it's things that are very normal in everyday life that could happen,
right.
but people might not be paying attention, right?
Yeah, well, life gets very rich and interesting when you realize that almost everything is a message if you're paying attention.
Right, yeah.
And as you expand the ways that you have of listening and what you can take in, it gets very, very interesting. But what a wonderful gift that you're giving people with a story that's going to get under their skin because it's a wonderful romance and wonderfully written. And at the same time, it's like, oh, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I mean, everybody we know in life has lost somebody they love, right? I mean, a parent, a child, a spouse, a, mm-hmm. you know, grandparent. And I mean, there's almost no one immune to loss or death. And, you know, most people aren't equipped to handle it when it comes or happens. And it's usually a tragic, you know, event or shocking, even if you're prepared, if it's something more, you know, like terminal, like cancer, even the end state of the finality of the physical body no longer being here is just so right. overwhelming. People can't even imagine what it's going to be like.
When my daughter was only 3 or 4 years old and her grandfather was dying and everybody was like, oh, let's have her stay with somebody. I was like, no, I want her to be there and to see that something changed.
Yeah.
That his body changed, that he's not in his body anymore, so that she can really understand that, so that right. it won't be as strange and complicated and unexplainable and all the right. rest of it. And I caught some flack for that, but it was a good thing to do.
Right.
So, Dee Dee, one of the wonderful things about meeting people that have terrific stories is we always run out of time. Obviously,
yeah, we could talk forever.
Keep chatting for a while. So thank you so much for being on. My guest is Dee Dee Marks. Her first book of the series of three is Beyond Believing, an inspiring story to awaken the heart. And it's just a very cool book. Thank you so much for doing that for people. Tell us again what your website is.
Sure. It's DeeDeeMarks, M-A-R-X, no spaces, .com.
Terrific. You're also on Facebook, right?
Yes, Facebook and Twitter. All my social media handles are on my website. And thank you so much for having me. It's been a wonderful hour.
It's been a pleasure having you on here. And keep in touch. Let me know what's going
on. For sure. Yeah, thank you.
We can talk about the other books when they come out.
Sounds great.
Fantastic. Thank you again. Again, my guest was Dee Dee Marks. You can find her at DeeDeeMarks with an X, .com. And thanks. Thanks for being here. So if you've gotten at all curious about this guy, David, and what in the world does he do, you can go to househealing.com and cleverly hiding in plain view, as most things in life are, on the contact tab is every technology I could figure out for you to get in touch with me, including a link to make an appointment with me to talk on the phone, because I do a 20-minute free assessment of a person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be, and we can take a look at how my work might be helpful to you. The show information and archive is at thefarkasfiles.com. You can listen to all of them from there. You can also listen from our mobile app for Androids and that other one, iPhone, whatever it is. And there's a new app coming out. And we're also on iTunes Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. There are probably others, but we're pretty much on every streaming media, so you can look for Empower Radio or search for the Farkas Files. Farkas Empower Radio is a 24/7 platform of positive messages. So there's a lot of really wonderful stuff. The Farkas Files is on at 9 p.m. every day, and we record the new show every week on Thursdays. So I hope you will tune in and have a fantastic time. This is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.